Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. I'm glad you're with us today. And I'm glad to be with Kai Cole, who's with us each week live. Architect, physical architect, awareness architect, my executive producer. Kai's one of my, what I call her like a wisdom mirror. She mirrors back wisdom to me, and she's also in the relational brain. She sends me her brain frequency so I can see things in a bigger way. So Kai, thank you for being all those things in this lifetime.
My pleasure.
So, you know, one of the things that you inspired me, and a lot of inspiring, you know, people inspire me about is through the years, I've met some exemplifiers. I've met people who live their message. And I guess you could say from the time I was, probably a teenager, I would meet people. I would have these meetings with these remarkable people. And it could be I met them at a bookstore, and next thing I know, I was at their office. And I remember one time I met this doctor in New York, Dr. William Baum. And he was quite an amazing guy. He gave a lecture on internal health, and he had this chart, and he was very striking. He had beautiful head of white hair, and the couple in front of me said, "I think he's saying we're all full of crap." And they said that to each other, and I thought, I guess he is. He was kind of saying that. I went to see him. He invited me to see him, and I remember once I walked up like probably 37 flights of stairs to go see him in New York. And when the first thing I did when he saw me again, he threw a quarter at me. But the quarter didn't have the eagle on it. It had his wife on it, his wife Doris Baum. They also built a statue of her in front of the Plaza Hotel. And she fell off a horse when she was very little. And she had a hunchback condition that people considered incurable. And she apprenticed the world's biggest publisher, a guy named Bernard McFadden, who was also someone that shaped my life. So When I met Dr. Baum, and he threw the quarter to me, I kind of felt he was throwing a lineage in a way of seeing. And so every time I would meet these exemplifiers, and they often would invite me to see them, I felt they would pass on something. And it usually was a way of questioning. It usually was a way of seeing things differently. And he educated me on some of the history of health, and he gave colonics. He was back. He was in a time when no one really, colonics weren't that popular. Actually, the president of New York Hospital went to see him. And he just kind of, and I was at a time in my life, I was really curious about this other way of life, that I didn't hear about. So he became an exemplifier. He was someone that had altered me. So each person, Kai, that I would meet and I would deepen my relationship with, I felt like they would, in some ways touch me. And this morning I had a cranial session. I worked with a woman this morning, and before she worked on me, I had what they call biodynamic cranial this morning. And one of the things we were talking about this morning is how relationship regulation in some ways almost comes before self-regulation. So that when someone touches us and our mother, like, you know, breastfeeds us, it kind of sets up this whole regulation that this allows us to experience this chemistry of love and this energy of love. And I think when I was very young, I always visioned that in my life. I always visioned that I would have a partner and experience this deep love. And I realized at a certain point in my quest that no matter how many shows I would go to or you know, health fairs, that it was really this experience of love that Dr. Ashley Montague said could heal broken bones. And I realized that was what was moving me. And as a coach, I always felt that, yeah, when people could be in touch with that vital sensation, the thing that was so deep in them, they could move and breathe through that. So I'm going to tell you how I met Teshna Beauvier, who's the author of Fit for Love. So I knew that I knew I was in, you know, you ever read any books on Kundalini awakenings, Kai? Have you heard of that, the phenomenon where people have this awakening, or they call it a spiritual emergency? They call it a lot of different things, but you felt like something really shifted in your life in a major way you never had before?
Absolutely.
What's been your experience with that, by the way? What's been the experience where something happened that you never encountered before that really, like, kind of rocked you in a way? Like, what was that, a certain time in your life, or did that happen as early as you can remember? You kind of felt like it's kind of strange down here. Like, how did that happen for you in your life experience?
Recently in my journey, I have been open to that happening every single day. It's what I like to call a phenomenon of magic. We should, I don't like to use the word should, but magic does not have to be so rare. It can be commonplace.
I like that. You know, the first book that I read that made sense to me on this topic, I want to get your take on this, was a book called Joy's Way by Brew Joy. And Brew Joy was the first person to put in print something that I just kind of got. And he did these 10-day workshops at Sky High Ranch in California. So Brew was a very highly trained physician. He graduated at the top of his class. He got some kind of, you know, he got a really sort of serious diagnosis, and he really opened up to a different level of healing. And he offered these courses, these 10-day retreats. And he would talk a lot about the outer mind, how the outer mind, we're all fixed in a certain outer mind, right? I call them thought viruses. But he was saying that people that have these profound healings, they could have an experience of having union with a cactus tree, like all these things that would shift their whole energy. And in those 10 days, a lot of their illnesses would drop away. And what he was saying was that a lot of times when the course would end, they would go back to town and they would take on the town mind, like they would kind of get back into the outer mind. And I noticed that in my life. I noticed that there was something about having this experience in life that, like you just said, I guess daily magic, that was sort of like not talked about, or that, you know what I mean? It was sort of this uncommon thing. So I called Teshna up. I'm in the middle of this experience that I'm going through, this experience of heartbreak like I've never had before. And I didn't even have the language of heartbreak. I actually discovered the language of heartbreak when I was listening to this woman. She was on NPR. She was discussing, as an Olympian, she had heartbreak, and she felt she was dying. And she kind of discovered this path to it. And so I thought, wow, this is so interesting and so perfect that I'm having this experience, but there's really no one to talk about this because it's kind of an uncommon conversation. But I knew Teshna was doing this work with neurology and the nervous system and helping people reset it, and I'd been aware of her work before. And I called her up, and I dropped into a wonderful residence, a wonderful, almost like a musical thing. I just felt she was able to hear me in a way and listen in a way that I couldn't quite listen to myself because my system was so disrupted. And I knew, I said to my producer at the time, I said, you know, I'm going to drive like 5 hours a week to go see Teshna because I'm going through this storm and there's not a language for it. And yet it's something I feel is going to shape and open up a whole new level of work in me. Like I didn't really that day, that was probably almost 8 years ago. My beloved wife, Donna, I felt in my soul she was leaving. And I was at the time, as I was in that process, I was in very close touch with Chloe Madonis, who actually pretty much has been profound altering Tony Robbins' life around relationships. And the only thing I could do at the time, you know, is I actually set up a meeting with my wife and Chloe Madonis, thinking that was going to, you know, resolve this. Well, I didn't think it was, but I thought many things were going to happen because my experience had been thus far that certain things mattered. There's certain things that made a profound difference. But it didn't play out that way fully. It kind of, in some ways, that meeting that Donna had with Chloe went very differently, almost sort of humorously. And she left. And I realized that this was going to be the greatest opportunity that I had to experience the kind of love that I hadn't had before. And yet it was beyond me. I didn't have a resource. So speaking to Teshna, I just felt like I needed to go there. I kind of felt like she had something that would open the doorways to another whole thing. And so the first thing I want to share with people about exemplifiers and about the power of collaboration is that level of vulnerability, which I keep reading again and again when people say they're independent and they use all these languages, that really being relationally and consciously dependent is a very profound and good thing. And the notion that we could sort of be on our own is a mistake. But really what we want to do is our true power comes in how reliant and how open and how much we could receive and take in. And so, so here she's with us today, Kai, because we talk about exemplifiers. So she opened her office, her heart, and these wonderful resources. So I want to say, Kai, when I went to see Teshna, you know, you would begin this exercise where Teshna would go through the different systems in the body and the brain, because we all would get into these habits. And as Teshna says so brilliantly, what love is for us is the habit or belief we have about love. And here I am, I'm feeling the worst abandoned of my whole life. Literally, before I saw Teshna, there was a day where I thought I was going to be able to see Donna and I couldn't physically stand up. So it was so there. And yet I had an awareness that this was going to open up something. I just didn't know it. So I knew that Teshna, going to see Teshna. And so the Teshna was asked if the condition of this, what's happening in your body right now, was 1 to 1,000. And I was so happy when she say it's 1,000, meaning the worst it could be, because I thought, okay, because if she said it was 1, I wouldn't know what to say or do. But my body and my being, I kind of thought, wow. So this was the opening, by the way, for another whole level of coaching and connecting. And I'm honored to have with us today Teshna, who wrote a book called Fit for Love. I'm going to be seeing her again. And this is kind of a reunion. And now they're making a film on this incredible topic. I asked Teshna to be an advisor to us. And I want to just let her say hello to you, Kai, in the audience. Ariel, are you here today? I don't know. Are you there? Ariel?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, great. Wonderful, wonderful. I told Teshna you got married. So, yeah, I kind of feel you'll get an extra blessing hearing Teshna today. So, Teshna and I just also collaborated. We're going to do weekends where people are going to clear some of this stuff out, and they can get deeply married so they don't kind of bring, their habits, their neurological habits into the relationship. Are you guys curious to hear what Teshna has to say? Are you guys ready? All right, here she is. Teshna, thank you for being patient about your last name. You know, I know you are as a being. And by the way, it's Ariel Bomberg is our special, our producer in New York, Teshna. And Kai. Here I am in an altered, inspired state, Teshna, ready for you to touch the audience and our wonderful team today. Welcome. Wholeheartedly welcome to you. You don't think she's here? Oh, geez, isn't that funny? Yeah. You know what's really funny is I've had this happen once before. I want to say that I worked with Jerry Gimpolsky one time. He wrote me a letter the third time. He goes, I think it's a special blessing that I didn't show up for these shows. He goes, I don't know what it is, but I deeply apologize and I love you. So I actually bonded my relationship with Jerry Gimpolsky, wrote a book called Love's Letting Go of Fear. God dang, let's see. What shall I do? Well, I actually have her number with us. I think the introduction was probably worth the whole show, though. You know, she doesn't show up. At least the introduction's on tape. You know what I mean?
Started.
I want to get your response to anything that I shared, as I look to see if I could find Tesha's number in my briefcase here. I'm glad you're there, Ariel. You're a part of the family in a very significant way. I really feel like I met you, and you're someone that I was supposed to meet, and I feel so rooted in that, and I feel the same way about Kai and Miranda. It's just been great. Our Inside Vibrant Living team has just meant the world to me. So since you haven't spoken last week, we haven't heard your voice yet, Ariel, and you have that blessed name, Bomberg. Say something. What's your experience around this whole phenomenon of relationship? And like, I know your clients ask you about it. What's your take on it?
My take on it is that a relationship has to be built on the foundation. And I said this many times before, that a couple has to look at each other as one unit, as one entity, yeah, as one soul. And I think that's really the foundation of any relationship. Because in any relationship, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be, good times and not so good times. And I think when a couple has that foundation firmly established, then no matter what comes their way, they're going to be able to overcome it and rise higher and grow together as time goes on. And that love, as a result, will develop and nurture and continue to flower as well. And again, like in my practice, I work a lot with couples or with even individuals with, relationship issues. And that's something I really try to convey to whoever I work with, alongside, obviously homeopathic and holistic treatment. By the way, Glenn, were you mentioning before about Kundalini yoga, or are you Kundalini meditation?
Well, yeah, let's bring that up. Actually, when I was reading early on, I read about what they call Kundalini emergencies, and when I went through my own relational awakening, we'll continue. Juicy question. Great having you guys. Stay with us. You're Life Press and Joy, Vibrant Living Network, live, right with you.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Oh. Wow. Wow, Kundalini. He was into Vibrant Living, along with Kai Cole, who's brilliant as anything. Ariel Bomberg. The name says everything. It's a powerful name. You hear that name. You know who's doing it. Arrive at a powerful name. There used to be a name-changing seminar, and people go to the seminar so they could find a name that really resonated with their whole life. So I went around all these unusual people in my life. We're talking about exemplifiers and, of course, the power of collaboration today. Maureen Cleary, who was going to be with us, is traveling. She's in transit from Natural Awakenings magazine. And, Kundalini. So Kundalini, as some of you might have read or had the experience, it's supposed to be the energy that sits in your, some people say the base of the spine. By the way, there's many interpretations. One of the things I've learned is fluidity and flexibility to really own what these things mean. You know, you go to a yoga studio, you go places and they have a fixed meaning. So my experience, by the way, of Kundalini is it's a relational thing as well, that you actually activate each other's energy when you meet each other. And once you begin to understand that, kind of get that, you could actually have intimacy. And rather than be estranging the energy, you could actually befriend it, love it together. And so that's why I'm so interested in the relational part of our lives, because we could go deeper together. And we could actually, in the beginning of the show, I talked about co-regulation. And co-regulation is the most powerful way we could deepen. So when Ariel said, we're one system. So everything I look at as a coach is from the idea that I'm working with one system. So even when an individual comes to me, I'm looking at their relational system in their lives, and their vision. We do have an accurate phone number for Teshna. Hopefully we'll get Teshna. Oh, and I wanted to share something kind of interesting, but Oh God. It's hard to get with Teshna with all these obstacles, you know? I guess Chris, you did your part. So you did your part. Thank you. All right. So Kundalini. So I guess to say early on in my life, how things kind of unfolded for me was, is I had sinus headaches, which were in my family lineage. And basically I stopped using the medication and I started to use nutrition, but I got interested, Ariel and Kai. One year I was at a conference in New York City on nutrition. I met my teacher that year, a guy named Paul Bragg. I'm sure a lot of you have seen his products, the Bragg Aminos, Bragg Apple Cider Vinegar. I had a miraculous meeting with him. But I got really curious. I got curious about the mind. I got curious about this hidden part of our lives that seems so profound. So Kundalini, the way it was explained, it was a guy named, I think it was Gopi Krishna. He wrote these very obscure books about what it was to have happened when your Kundalini awoke. And it seemed very, I don't know what to say. Kai, it seemed very extreme. And so what I began to realize, I read one of the best books ever, which I want to recommend to you guys on this topic. It's called Going Sane. And it's an amazing book about as you wake up, and particularly I'm gonna do something for couples on this, because couples activate each other. And once you understand it's a good thing, and again, as Ariel said so brilliantly, once you understand you're in the same system together, you could love each other, and you could go through what some people call crisis to another level of being relationally bonded. So Kundalini was kind of a hot topic, Ariel, and I was very curious about it because I would read articles about it, but never talked about it relationally. They never talked about it in relation to your parents.
You want to laugh really hard right now?
Say again?
Well, the reason why I asked is because I'm a little bit familiar with it, and I've actually worked, I've actually worked with several clients who actually have gone through not so great effects from it. To be honest.
Okay.
I think there are definitely ways to tap into Kundalini meditation that's safe. But on the other hand, there is a process by which if a person kind of connects or so to speak taps into this type of spirituality meditation, it can really affect them. And the reason why I bring it up is because, you know, we're talking about relational connections and vibrant matchmaking relationships with, you know, between, you know, couples and people looking for love and things like that. And energy plays a big part into it. You know, it's the underlying energy between a relationship or relational connection. It's what helps to drive the system as well and helps to keep it united as one and to keep it long lasting. But the energy has to be from a positive source. It has to be from a good place. It has to be from a place of love, of of strength, of confidence, of caring, of nurturing, you know, and many other positive, use many other positive descriptors as well. But if it comes from a source that's not in that direction, or it's not a positive source, or it's not something that's conducive or good for a relationship or to enhance a connection, then it can, God forbid, destroy it. There are many cases of people where in a relationship can spiral downward because there's some energy that's really affecting both of them that's in the way, and it kind of creates a blockage that doesn't allow them to connect or to grow that love or to maintain it even. And I've seen it a lot in my practice, especially specifically with people who, mm-hmm. they go into things like Kundalini meditation, but it's not done through a practitioner. It's not done in a proper method or way. And it gets to the point where it really can, not just physically, but even emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, really, really have strong effects on them. I actually had a younger girl this morning that came to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really why, this is why this really resonates with me now. I had a 21 year old college girl that just came to me this morning who was really experiencing really, harsh negative, bad negative effects from Kundalini meditation. And it just comes to show that, this idea of energy is real, and it's something that has to be used very wisely, very responsibly, very carefully in order to be channeled the right way. And as somebody also that studies spirituality and studied, spirituality, especially, Kabbalah, it's something that, it's not something that's really, that's a joke. It's really something that can either make or break a relationship or anything in general life. And this is something we have to be careful to channel properly in the right way.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. Kai?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to see if you wanted to share, it's a very intriguing topic. It's something that I've, anyway, I just want to see what your Kai wisdom was bubbling with.
I have a lot of respect for what Ariel is saying. Of course, any of our energies and practices should be used responsibly, just acknowledging, what could potentially happen. There are ways that we can benefit, and also there are ways that we can be mindful just to make sure that, one, our intent is intact, and also, two, that we are listening to our bodies and what's going on as a result of the practice. I'm really curious, Ariel, how did you move forward with this individual?
Mm-hmm.
What did you advise as next steps?
It's a very, very good question, Kai. And happy, that we're all on the same page with this. So moving forward, I've actually worked with many people that have gone through negative effects of this nature, whether it's through Kundalini meditation or similar energetic imbalances from other modalities or traditions, et cetera. And for me, homeopathy really, really helps to rebalance people who are in this spiritual dissonance or dash-ease, mm-hmm. so to speak. For me also, it's actually very interesting. This client was actually referred to me by a psychology center that I collaborate with in the New Jersey, New York area. And they are actually mm-hmm. referred to me. They actually refer this patient to me. And, with that being said, so I have, people I work in collaboration with. And also, I also have a colleague who also is an energy healer. He's somebody that actually learned and practices Chinese meditation, but it's in a way that it's not like the generic Chinese meditation that derives heavily in Buddhism, but it's more it's made in a way that's more from a Kabbalistic point of view and uses more Kabbalistic principles in healing techniques. So he's somebody I know.
Give us a Kabbalistic principle. Ariel, give us. You mentioned Kabbalistic principles. Share a couple of principles so people can get a feel for a principle in the Kabbalah, Kabbalistic principle.
Well, in Kabbalah, very similar to many other traditions that people speak about, Kabbalah recognizes the fact that when it comes to the healing, whatever a person experiences, and I'm just talking about general ideas and concepts, but it goes a lot deeper than this. When people, and I share this with my clients a lot too, when people go through challenges or obstacles or even ailments or illnesses in one part of their life, let's say it's from when they're a child or teenager years, et cetera, if that, these challenges we all deal with, they're all there to help us become better people and to grow. You know, whether it's from a past life or whether it's something that energetically is affecting us in this life or whatever it is, it's there to, you know, in Kabbalah, it speaks about how God gives people challenges and all these things in order to help them fulfill their mission in life. Meaning, you know, we all have these bad things that happen to us, so to speak, and we complain, why is this happening to me? You know, why am I have to go through this? Kabbalah teaches that what we perceive as bad is really the highest level of good. It's really coming from a spiritual source that's even better than the revealed good that we see. So, of course, we want things in life to go well. We want to have livelihood, you know, good relationships with our people we're with our spouses, success, health. But, you know, for a number of different factors, a lot of which are out of are in our control and as well as out of our control, you know, God or life or whatever you want to call it, sets up situations in life that help us that hint to us what we have to work on, what we have to improve in ourselves, and what direction we need to go in order to fulfill the rectification and the goal and our destiny in life that we need to do in order to rise above all of it. And so as I was saying before, these things can manifest early on generally in people's lives. And when that's not addressed or it's not fixed or it's not rectified, so to speak, that will manifest in a similar but different way in the next stages of a person's life, which if you, as a holistic practitioner, I see this all the time. You know, people are coming to see me with some sort of anxieties or traumas or negative experiences or something in their character or physical illness even. And, you know, it's all science. It's all, you know, a godly reminder of where we need to go in life and what we need to do, what we need to focus on in order to become better people and closer to the divine and how we can really reconnect to that and make the world a better place in general.
There's a book called Blessed by Illness. So you're saying that it's sort of a blessing in disguise that these challenges, these blockages we could use those in a way that opens up another whole level of life and big health and another level of life.
Exactly. And they help to open us up to things that really can make a difference both in our lives and other people's lives. Like, for example, if you look at a lot of the, you know, it's hard for me to come up with a direct example, but you know, there are many examples of many famous people or many, world changers who, because they had a certain condition or a certain challenge earlier in life. For example, Albert Einstein. We all know Albert Einstein is one of the biggest geniuses and scientists in history. Albert Einstein, when he was younger, it's very well known that he was always asking questions. It was hard for him to retain information. So a person could look at that and say, oh, Why is God giving Albert Einstein, giving this person this challenge to retain information, to remember, to, you know, always have to question? But it's exactly that challenge that pushed him, that drove him to be Albert Einstein. It helped carve the path for him and open up channels and pathways for him to learn more, discover more, to study more, and eventually become, you know, one of the greatest minds and scientists in the world. And it's like that with everything, with spirituality, the business, with relationships, etc. I'm sure all of us here, I can say myself too, there are things I have had, challenges I have had, situations I've had, and I look back at it now and I always tell myself, I thank God every day that I had that because it made me the person I am today. And I'm sure, you know, all of us, Glenn, Kai, Miranda, you know, we've all had things like that, situations like that
well,
push us into
the other thing that you pointed out.
Back how that was good.
The other thing you pointed out, which is relevant and certainly a source of a deeper conversation, it seems like all of us have had a past life in New Jersey, whether we like it or not. And I think that's relevant somehow. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure why, though. You know what? You know, boy, so much left there. There's a new book out. It's called Awesomeness, and it's by a Kundalini teacher out of L.A., and I was just thinking about – she has a media company in L.A., and I was just – early on, I liked – I guess what happened was I kind of came into this probably like a lot of people. I came into life kind of like one, what was going on. On some level, I felt a lot of disharmony in my family of origin. And I felt like school was like a torture chamber. I didn't feel school was any – and the most valuable thing that happened in school was I read a quote by Mark Twain. He said that, you know, the true success was turning your vocation into your vocation into your vacation. I thought, wow, that's a valuable idea. That's something to breathe into. But what happened, I'd say over the last 30 or 40 years, is that we got really inducted into this whole idea of self-emergence. We got really inducted into this idea of older monastic practices, solo practices. And I would travel to places, and I saw, you know, I saw that people, and I found an interesting phenomenon. One is that people would break up the more they became self-emergent. So I kind of noticed that. And when I had my own relational tsunami, when I had my own relational awakening, I got so curious about how is it that we could form this deeper bond, this ecstasy bond, and have this deeper rhythm together. And I saw that. I saw certain people built into that. Yogi Bhajan is an example. He built into, I think he called them white tantric practices, because he felt like these certain practices that would harmonize the yin and the yang. But for the most part, I saw so many people getting into self-emergent traps. Their meditation, their solo practices were causing them more challenges. Actually, in New Jersey, to keep plugging New Jersey today, I had a connection with Satvan Yanger. Satvan Yanger is a chakra psychologist. Anyway, I actually had a spontaneous meeting with him. But here's the thing. You have relational chakra systems, you have relational energy, and the more you appreciate that and that one system you share, the better. Stay with us. You're listening to Vibrant Living.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks, Vibrant Living, Kai Cole. So deeply appreciate you, Kai. Executive producer, architect of awareness, connector. Ariel Bomberg. Well, Bomberg speaks for itself. The guy, he's 26, just got married, but he's taking a leap beyond linear knowledge. You know, we all need to go take a leap. It's called a vertical leap. We need to realize that the horizontal and the reinforcement of linear concerns. Boy, I want to say, you guys, I gave Pesta Bovia such a profound acknowledgement, and now she's with us. I want you guys to all tune into what I said about Pesta. For 10 minutes, Pesta, I built everything I could to acknowledge you, to talk about our miraculous meeting, how you made me feel at home, how you, without question, spoke a language that I didn't know what it was in some ways. Really going into that level of, in some ways, in retrospect, relational awakening. Well, here you are. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really happy to be on this call, finally. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna let Kai and Ariel. Kai, you heard the introduction, what I said about Tesha. What are you most curious about Tesha? Her book is Fit for Love, and here she is live, and she's going to be a regular contributor. Welcome to the family, Tesha. You treated me as a family member. You did, in fact, live the infinite collaboration, and I so deeply, deeply appreciate that. I'm going to turn it over to Kai. Kai, what are you curious about?
Yeah, one of my favorite questions to ask is, in consideration of all the things that are going on in society today, Tesha, what would you say are our biggest challenges?
Well, I would say our biggest challenges is our upbringing. It's like from conception till about 10 years old, we are like little tape recorders, and everything that happens to us with our parents, the way they act towards us, and the way they act towards each other will kind of like set our blueprint for what we believe love. It sets up our money blueprints, our career blueprints, our health blueprints. And so that's what my book is about. I'm teaching about how we create these blueprints and then how to remove these blueprints. Because as long as you have a blueprint that says, for example, that love and life mean being criticized because your mother was critical of your father and she was critical of you, and you believe that's what love is, so now you're looking for someone to criticize you. So you'll be attracted only to people who are critical because you need that particular aspect of things to feel loved. Now, that's all on a subconscious level because most people consciously don't like to be criticized. But subconsciously, if that's what was going on in your family, that's what you'll be looking for out there. So that's why I wrote the book to open people's eyes about that. And then I also teach workshops now where I teach people a technique that uses muscle testing and a form of tapping to test to see what the blueprint is and then clear it with the tapping and then retest to make sure it is gone. And then I also have people test the opposite belief. Like, for example, the critical thing would be I would have them test for I can allow myself to believe that love and life means being accepted as I am. And then if they go pick on that, then we do the technique again to make sure that they can finally agree and have that new blueprint that instead of being criticized, they can be accepted as they are, and then they'll feel loved that way. So that's basically the premise of it.
Very profound and wonderful. I love your integration of the body into practice. Yeah.
Yes, it's called semantic testing, where you have the person say a statement, and then you muscle test them. And if they're congruent with what they just said, they'll stay strong. But if they're incongruent with it on any level, they'll go weak. So therefore, you can find out exactly what their blueprint is, whether or not they're aware of it consciously, which is really cool.
Absolutely. For everyone who's listening now, how can we begin to understand that there are things, you know, that need to be addressed in our subconscious? I mean, we can go through our normal daily lives and not even realize that there's anything quote-unquote wrong. But where do we start to shine the light on these issues?
Well, the first thing I would suggest to people is to read my book. It's available on Amazon. It's called Fit for Love by Dr. Tesha Beaulieu. And once you read that, then I also suggest you take one of my workshops. I have one coming up at the end of May. May 26th, 27th, and it's in near Hillsdale, New York, which is right outside of the Berkshires in Massachusetts. It's about like maybe 15, 30 minutes from the border of Massachusetts and New York. And it's from 9 to 5, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm going to teach people how to figure out what their blueprint is. And then we're going to teach them how to muscle test themselves, how to muscle self-test other people, so that you can start helping yourself and others to uncover these unconscious things and then clear them with the technique that I teach.
Tesha, some people won't be able to get to that workshop. I know Kai and Aria will be seated in the room.
I just wanted to tell you something that's really exciting. was approved to teach my work at Kripalu in Lenox, Massachusetts.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm going to teach my workshop at Kripalu on August 26th to 29th. It starts on a Sunday evening at 7:30. Then it's all day Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning from 9 to 11. And so that's another option. So that's in August. I'm going to be teaching it there again.
I want you to do this. I want you to do me a favor. And by the way, you say your last name much better than I do. I noticed that when you said your name. You say it with such grace, Eunice. Yeah. It's amazing to me. Yeah. I know you do that. Say it again. I want to make sure people catch it.
Okay. It's my first name is Teshna, T-E-S-H-N-A, and the last name is Beaulieu, B as in boy, E-A-U-L-I-E-U. And I'm on the schedule for Kripalu event, if you look in their catalog, or online.
All right.
That you could sign
up. I want you to do me a favor. First, I want to say I drove 5.5 hours for several months to see Teshna. I love her and her work. But I want you to do me a huge favor. I want you to talk to people right now, because Kai asked you a really powerful question, and some people are not, I know it's going to be a sad thing here, but some people won't come to that workshop. I want you to talk to people today about how they could do things right now today with their psychological toxins, with their thought viruses. I want you to, before they even touch your book, I want you to share with them a couple of wisdom or vibrant gems, as Kai would say.
Okay. So one of the exercises that I have people do in my workshop is to take a piece of paper and at the top write mom towards dad, and then you make a line down the middle of the page and you say positive, negative on the top. And then so you start writing down the behaviors that you notice between your mom and your dad. Like, how was your mom towards your dad? Was she critical? Was she supportive? Was she, abusive? Was she, admiring, whatever it was. So you write down everything that you remember your mom being towards your dad. Then you take another sheet of paper and you do the same thing with, how was dad towards mom? Was he a good provider? Was he, was he cheating on her? Was he, all the different things. So you write down all the positive and all the negative for how dad was towards mom. Then you take another sheet of paper and you write down, how was mom towards you? And again, you write the positive and the negative. So the positive might be she was supportive and she was making sure you have everything you need. But on the negative side, maybe she was being, too demanding, like expecting perfection. And then you do the same thing with how was dad towards you. Again, positive, negative. So you write all that down. It's kind of like a brainstorm. And that right there will start to put some illumination on what your blueprint is. Because whatever happened to you from conception until about 10 years old is what we use to have our blueprint about everything, love, money, health, career, everything. And there's one more aspect that I haven't mentioned yet, is between conception and birth, there can be all kinds of things happening while you're in the womb. And one of them is called the vanishing twin syndrome. And you can look that up. There's a really good friend of mine, Brent Babcock, who wrote a book on that. It's called My Twin Vanished, Did Yours? And so you could get that book if you want to get a lot more information on that subject. But I also have a section in my book where I reproduced some of his information with his permission, and so that I have a whole section on the vanishing twin that explains that.
Explain what that is to people, because a lot of people – thank you.
Yeah. So the vanishing twin syndrome is something that became more obvious in the last maybe 10, 15 years when all of a sudden most pregnant women started to be getting ultrasound, whether they needed it or not. Like in the old days, like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, pregnant women only got ultrasounds if there was an issue, like if there was some bleeding or some leaking or something, or they had pain or, they suspected there was something wrong, and they'd do an ultrasound. But now they do it routinely on every pregnant woman, and not just once, but many times. It's like taking a picture of your baby before it's born, right?
Right,
so because
right.
Because of that, they found that a lot of women, actually the ratio is about 1 out of 8 women conceive more than one embryo at first. So there might be 2 little babies in there or even 3. And around anywhere between 1 I mean, 1 second, I guess, well, you wouldn't see them. Just something usually before 3 months goes on, or 4 months maybe, one of them will die, basically. And then it gets reabsorbed. So it's kind of like the survival of the fittest. Whoever is the strongest one of the two embryos or fetus will survive, and the other one will not. And so it will die, and then it will get reabsorbed. And so the one that's left, that's a huge trauma. That's like the first trauma that people can have that they don't even know about because they have no conscious memory of it. But those are the people, like in my book, I wrote down, like I have 17 different categories of people that have had that happen to them. And if you want, I could name them to you, but I have them in my book. I have my book right here so I could look it up.
I just want to say, Tessa, I'm pretty dang sure that Ari knows at least 15 of these conditions. And that he probably exactly. could just name them too. And I also want to say that Ariel and he shared this with me before. He's been looking for his vanishing twin for, I think, 10 years now in New Jersey. So this is a condition that some people recognize and some people don't. I know for myself, I felt, you know, before I saw you, funny, Tessa told me I had a vanishing twin. I always felt, growing up, I felt two things. I felt very separate from some people. And then I felt incredibly close to some people. And when I felt close to people, it was like a forever thing. I just felt this deep, deep closeness. And I think that's when I went through my own tsunami, I just felt like I couldn't almost live without Donna. It was such a deep, and I felt it so deep. So when you talked about the idea of a vanishing twin, that I had one, it made sense to myself because I realized, and one other thing I noticed was, that when people recognized and saw me, it was a one-of-a-kind thing. When some people repelled to me, it was like, I don't know, I just felt, I always had this thing in my life around connection. Is that something around since 70%, it's amazing how many, you know, I said to someone yesterday, your whole life, the quality of your life is all about the distinctions you have about your life. It's kind of like if you walked into a store and said one word and got a 90% discount, it's kind of like, imagine your whole life where you don't know there's a difference between a golf ball and a basketball. It's kind of like the bigness of your life is like having these kind of awareness distinctions. Kai, I wanted to go back to you because you asked such an opening couple of building questions there. When Tessa is talking, does it ring to you that you had a vanishing twin? How does that ring to you when she says that? I'm just curious.
Like I said, I am enamored by Teshna's practices, and I think that the full integration of all of our systems is so important, and I'm just so happy to hear that there's some new vernacular arising here, things that we can dive deep into, and in essence, with new language comes new ways to explore ourselves. So I'm also curious, Ariel, do you use muscle testing in your line of work as well?
I don't use muscle testing. We don't use any medical testing. It's homeopathy and homeopathic consultations. It's really more just one-on-one talking with speaking with a client. Cause we, from our end, we try to address everyone's vital force and we see, we kind of look at the expression of the vital force. So therefore we don't really use testing. But I know some people that use
muscle testing.
I'm familiar with it. I actually used to collaborate with a functional medicine doctor who used to use muscle testing and kinesiology to determine which remedies or supplements would work best with clients. So we actually used to work together on that, but I personally don't use it though.
Got it.
I just want to say something quick because we only got a couple of minutes. We're going to give out Tessa's website, the name of the book. It looks like myself and Tessa, we're going to do a weekend where you clear stuff with Tessa, and the next weekend is going to be all about your meeting your soulmate deeply. Because a lot of times we actually meet people very deeply, but our inherent blockages or obstacles get in the way. So we had that conversation, and I love what you said about language. You know, a language is so fascinating. When we can language something and explore it, and we could exhale together, it's like we could bridge a new world together, which is really that vibrant world. Because as soon as we could be vulnerable and open to something, it's quite interesting. And so I want to acknowledge that Ben wasn't with us today with the Woodstock Healing Center. because I felt we, which I need to share with you guys. I want to talk to you. I want to talk specifically. What happened with Ben was I talked about what I wanted to do on the air, which is kind of this experience of collaboration. It was just a little too, it was too expansive for him. So I acknowledge him for the conversation we had before the show. Tesha, how can people find out about your work and soon our work together? Go ahead and give out your website and so that people could say your last name as good as you said and learn about this whole syndrome about having a blueprint kind of drawn to them. By the way, the blueprint sometimes happens without anybody speaking anything. Like at my house, when a glass dropped at the kitchen table, my father would freak out. And when I was in my 20s, I realized, oh, my God, I have a choice. I don't need to get upset when a glass falls. And my body changed. So share with people how they can be in touch with you, and you'll, of course you'll be on again. You're a Vibrant Living family member. So go ahead, Tesha.
Okay, so what I would suggest is right now the website that I have is not axed towards my book or my workshop.
You only got seconds to go, Tesha. What's the website?
The number to call is 518-672-4019. That's my office.
Hey, love you, Tesha. Thank you. Thank you, Kai Oriel. Thank you. Thank you guys for your listening. You make all the difference in the world. Much love. I'm Glenn Brooks. Your life, precious. Enjoy it. Thanks, Tesha.
Bye.
Bye.